the Lord guide my hand against your Roman popery.
And they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom.
We're on a mission from God.
Entitled. You want
answers. I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Maybe we should chug on over to Mamby-Pamby Land, where maybe we can find some self-confidence for you, you jackwagon!
Coming to you live from his padded cell high atop Bethel Church, the most heralded, the most despised talk show in all of human history. This is the talk show Hell Hates. This is Pastor Mike Online.
And here we are, coming to you live from our top secret broadcasting bunker, right here at Area 52. Area 51 is like right over there, through that wall, and just keep going west a couple thousand miles. You'll get there. And speaking of Area 51, it seems that all of the conspiracy wackos out there, apparently the biggest conspiracy buffs concerning something going on at Area 51, or let's say something going on related to unidentified flying objects. It seems that the biggest conspiracy people are not the people running late night AM talk shows or video blogs or podcasts or anything like that. It turns out that the biggest conspiracy people that are looking into the UFO phenomenon and the possibility that there would be some sort of encounter with alien biological entities, aliens, that there'll be some sort of encounter at some point in the future. Turns out that those conspiracy people are in the government, working for the Pentagon, possibly working at Area 52. There is a lot coming. This has been coming out on Drudge Report since Sunday. I got up Sunday morning and came over to the church and was kind of flipping through the news, and I saw that, and I saved it to my Evernotes. And there it was again yesterday. There it is again today, and they've added a couple more stories to go along with it. But apparently, there are some documents now being released by the Pentagon. They've spent money on this. They've spent money looking, and I'm not talking about Project Blue Book, J. Allen Hynek. I'm talking about recently, the Pentagon has spent money on looking into alien biological entities and unidentified flying objects that have been encountered and verified and recorded by by Air Force pilots, Navy pilots, or whatever. And I'll get into the stories here in a little bit. Here's one. The government admits it studies UFOs. Here's another one. Navy pilot describes 2004 encounter with UFO off San Diego coast. Here's another one. On the trail of a secret Pentagon UFO program. Here's another one. As the Pentagon admits it secretly spent tens of millions of dollars to combat UFO attacks, the spooky close encounters U.S. pilots are convinced were aliens. Now, you can be a skeptic all you want. In fact, I encourage you to be. The people who believe everything that they see on the internet, as long as someone says, the government did this, or the government is responsible for this. It seems like there are people out there who believe just about everything that comes out on YouTube, except common sense. They don't believe common sense. And so they're easy to believe just about anything. Like there were alien wars under the Denver airport, because there's tunnels that go under the Denver airport that go all the way to Area 51. And trust me, if there were tunnels going from the Denver airport to Area 51, I would have known about it. I would have heard them digging the tunnels here at Area 52. I would have heard them. What happened to my sound effects? I don't have my... I told a joke. I hit the drums. Nothing happened. There we go. So anyway, I think it's good and right to be skeptical first, to say, I don't know if I believe that or not. I don't think I believe that. I can't trust that. I don't. And some people say, well, you know, like CBS and NBC and CNN and Fox, they're all the fake news. Now, the real news are the guys with these cheesy websites with advertisements all over them. You go to a website, you're going to get hit with 20 different advertisements all trying to get your attention with pop-ups and screen covers and everything else. What is the motivation for people who have these websites? It's money. Because the more sensational they can make some story, like the National Enquirer or the Weekly World News, the more advertising revenue they're going to get, because it's clickbait. They're going to get a lot of money from this. They don't care whether it's true or not. They don't care that what they're reporting probably has no basis in truth whatsoever. They hooked you in. They got paid for it. It's all they care about. So I'm just automatically leery of a lot of the junk that's out there on the internet concerning UFOs. I don't believe it. Now, what I didn't say was, I don't believe in UFOs, because I do. Now, I have never seen one that I know of. And there is a scientific premise that goes like this. Most people who have had an encounter with alien biological entities, once that, like Betty and Barney Hill and others, once that encounter is over, the aliens somehow, some way, wipe the memories of that encounter out of your mind. So, here's the rule. If you can never remember having an encounter with aliens, you probably have. That's the proof right there, okay? Now, in all seriousness, I've never seen a UFO. I've never encountered alien biological entities. I've never been taken up into the mothership and been probed and anything like that. And I am skeptical of a lot of the mishmash and trash that's on the internet. With the advent of electronic, manipulation of photographs that only a very trained expert examining right down to the pixels, whether something has been added later to a photograph or not. I don't trust a lot of the pictures I see of purported UFOs or Bigfoot sightings or Loch Ness or anything like that. Giant graves. Come on. Giant graves. I mean, one of the easiest things in the world to do is to take a picture off the internet of an excavation of an ancient grave site where you've got this human skeleton that probably is about 5'6" tall, and then Photoshop people standing over that grave and reducing their size so as to make it look like the giant or the skeleton that's laying in that excavated grave looks to be about 30 feet tall. Okay, I just don't trust those photographs. I don't even trust now a lot of videos with what is it, After Effects, Adobe After Effects. I mean, I've used After Effects maybe twice to render the, like, the introduction to the Watchmen broadcast that we use. That was an After Effects video that a guy put together for me. But with After Effects, you can manipulate images on a screen and make it look like there is some sort of ship flying through the air or a light that's doing things that no plane can do or whatever. And so even when it comes to the videos, whether it's video footage or photographic evidence, I'm not very trusting of it. But in this case, and I'm going to show you a little, I'm going to show you a screen capture of an actual Air Force or Navy airplane interaction with an unidentified flying object that does things in the air that are very suspicious. And the pilots believed, because of the way that this particular craft was moving, the speed at which it was moving, the way it was maneuvering, they believed that they were dealing with something that they had never seen before, and that they believed that they were dealing with something that, according to them, could not be of this world. So where does that leave us? I mean, do we call all of these guys liars? Do we say, oh, they're making that up, and the government's trying to do this to us now, and you know, were they drunk? Were they, did they have too much coffee? Did they smoke marijuana before they got on the plane? Or whatever. Is it all a hoax? And I don't believe that. I think that there has been and will continue to be sightings of non-terrestrial ships, non-terrestrial entities. Terrestrial means of this earth, celestial objects. And that's what I believe. And I believe it because I believe the Bible. I believe the words that are in my Bible. And a few years ago, I mean, I've had an interest in UFOs all of my life. I was that kid in school. On library day, I got the UFO books, I got the Bigfoot books, I got the Loch Ness Monster books. I got anything related to mysteries, anything related to alternative history or things like that. I mean, that was my interest. And so I have somewhat of a knowledge, a background of UFO investigation, UFO knowledge and so on. And I believe that some of these people are telling the truth concerning what they saw, concerning what they encountered. They're not lying. They're not making it up. And God showed me a few years ago the Bible connection. And there is a spiritual connection here. And we're dealing with spirits. We're dealing with thousands of years of human history, human contact, human interaction with alien ships, with what they referred to as chariots in the sky. Some assigned them to the angelic realm and said these were angels. Some said that these were the gods. And of course, Eric Von Daniken made a big noise back in the 70s when he wrote Chariots of the Gods. And I remember I read his book back when I was in probably middle school, 6th grade, 7th grade, somewhere around in there. And I can remember I was angry with him because he took the story of Ezekiel chapter 1 and this, you know, these four cherubs and so on that come down from heaven, and here's this one like unto the Son of Man sitting on the throne with the glory of God over it, the rainbow, saying that that's the aliens that seated us here on planet Earth. And I was ticked off. And I wanted to write him a letter and said, you need to get saved. If you would get saved and believe what the Bible said, then you wouldn't think that these were the aliens that seated us here on this Earth. He used the plurality of Genesis chapter 1, where the Bible says, let us make man in our image. Von Daniken said that was the aliens. That was the aliens talking to one another in a group council. Should we seed man on this planet that we found? Should we put him here? And there was talk in the alien council, and finally they all agreed, yes, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And so the aliens seeded man on this earth. There is a legitimate scientific phrase for this called transpermia. And there are scientists who believe that that we actually didn't evolve from just a pool of goo, where lightning struck this pool and all of the chemicals necessary, and they all jolted together and became this first rudimentary cell. I don't believe that. That's stupid to believe that. That they believe that there was a either accidentally, if there was some sort of microbe carrying DNA that was on a meteorite or that was on a comet somewhere that fell here and survived and grew into, you know, the life forms that, you know, were in the pre-Cambrian period and all that stuff they make up. Or that there is an intelligence out there that actually placed the very initial seeds of all of the plant animal life on this earth, you know, millions of years ago. If you saw Mission to Mars with Gary Sinise, that's what that whole movie was about. They are at the face on Mars. And, you know, they transmit a signal. All of a sudden, this door opens up on the side of the face, and they walk in. It's got an atmosphere, and they're watching a movie. They're watching a movie of how the Martians planted their seed on planet Earth and how that DNA evolved into all these different life forms. And they were just waiting for whatever to develop on Earth to develop enough so that it could travel to Mars. Once it traveled to Mars, then it was eligible because something happened to Mars, you know, 4 billion years ago, and it ruined their atmosphere, and they had to leave Mars and go to a distant place in the galaxy, and, you know, but anyway, it was the Martians who put us here. Anything to replace God, anything to replace the creation story of the Bible. So these people come up with these ideas that the aliens put us here. So what's the real story? What is the truth? Does the Pentagon have the truth? Are they wasting millions of dollars on something that does not exist? I know the Pentagon's not known for, you know, budgetary frugality. But in this case, it seems like the government, or at least certain people in the Pentagon, believe that there is sufficient evidence to warrant a further investigation into the facts of military involvement with these flying ships, these flying objects, unidentified, and these alien biological entities. Remember, it was J. Allen Hynek who was leading Project Blue Book, who came up with the close encounter scenario. Close encounter of first kind is a UFO sighting. Close encounter of the second kind is that you are witnessing a UFO landing. Close encounter of the third kind is you are an actual contact and sight alien biological entities. And Spielberg picked up on that, and he made that movie, and Hynek has a cameo in there. He strokes his beard like a scholar and puts his pipe in his mouth because he's very intellectual and he's a scholar. So they have goatee beards that they stroke, and they smoke a pipe and they look intelligent. Okay, so he's actually in that movie. But now we're beyond that. Now we're not doing something covert. We're doing it overt. There is a program. And is that program still surviving? There's no doubt in my mind that it is, that the government is still looking into this. Should we, as Bible-believing Christians, should we care? Is this something that we should we should worry about or something we should think about? Is it something that's going to happen before we're raptured or after we're raptured? According to some, everything happens after we are raptured. I'm not convinced that that's the true biblical scenario. I'm not trying to be argumentative or disagreeing or anything like that. I'm just not convinced that that is the real scenario. I think there's some things that are going to happen, and I think it could very well, I think it is very possible that it would be related to human contact with alien biological entities. Revelation chapter 9. In Revelation chapter 9, there is human contact with alien entities. Human contact with them. And these are not benevolent, pious, good aliens. That the ones that Spielberg has portrayed in his movies. First Close Encounters and then the E.T. E.T. was this benevolent, pious God, this Jesus Christ character. I don't know if you've seen E.T. and caught this, but E.T. falls down from the heavens to the earth, dies, rises again from the dead, and is going to ascend back above the heights of the clouds. But before he does, he touches Elliot on his third eye. I'll be right here. And if that don't freak you out, okay? According to Revelation 9, these are not benevolent. These are not nice guys. They're beasts. And they are programmed to do one thing. And that is harm mankind. That's what they're programmed to do. So let's read. Let's go Bible here. Let's go out all King James here. Revelation chapter 9, the fifth angel sounded. And I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. Didn't I just say that? That's what happened in Starman. Starman, Jeff Bridges. He's on patrol. He's the alien. He's on patrol around planet Earth and doing a little surveying. All of a sudden, his ship malfunctions. Something goes wrong with the transwarp, interdimensional drive or whatever. His ability to bend space-time and cut a shortcut across the galaxy, and he crashes on the Earth. He falls from the heavens, grabs some human DNA, becomes a human, mates with that woman, and gives her a baby and says, he's going to be a great teacher on the earth. I'm going, are you kidding me? Then ascends back up above the heights of the clouds. How many times do we have to redo this same movie theme? Anyway, the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Who had it? Not CERN. CERN doesn't have it. Jesus Christ has it. And he gives it to this angel. I think it's Lucifer. Could be wrong. But anyway, verse 2, and he opened the bottomless pit. There arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And then, verse 3, here is your alien biological entities. There came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, which is normally what locusts would go for, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. Think about it. Do you know how long the waters rose in the days of Noah? They rose exactly 5 months, 150 days precisely. That's what's given to you in your Bible. After the initial 40 days of rain, the waters continued to rise because water was not only, and I'm going to make a link here that I've made before, the water was not only coming up from the heart of the earth, from the depths, but it was coming down from the sky, and after 40 days, the sky water stopped, but it appears that water was still coming up from beneath the earth and continued to rise up after the 40 days, another 90 days. Is it 90 days? No, it'd be 110 days, wouldn't it? 110 plus 40 is 150. So another 110 days after the 40 days of rain, fountains of the great deep still pumping up large amounts of water, and the ark is rising up 15 cubits above the highest mountain. Now, we don't know what the highest mountain was back then, but it covered, literally covered, it was Water World, is what it was. Who was that? Made that movie. Anyway, it was Water World. The whole world covered with water, 15 cubits above the highest mountain, and for 150 days, 5 months exactly, the waters prevailed. Now, you have in Revelation 9, these beasts, these scorpions coming up out of the heart of the earth, out of the pit, just like the waters rising up from the great deep. But then in Revelation 12, you have in verse 4, his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And so you have one third of the angels falling down from heaven like rain. You have these evil angels in Revelation 9 coming up, being pumped up from the heart of the earth. And that is exactly the same place that the waters covered the earth. That was the source of the water, coming down from the heavens, coming up from the earth. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Jesus was right, and to me, I don't care how you think of it. If it's related to Noah in the Bible, it's probably going to happen in a more realistic fashion in these last days. I mean, there's just so much there. But to me, I see it clearly. Oops. I see it very clearly. Water's rising up from the depths. Water's coming down from the heavens. Here you have angels falling down. And then you have these evil angels being kicked out, thrown down, cast down to the earth, violently, waters being pumped up out of the heart of the earth, and you have these devils that are being released out of the pit. I mean, you've seen caged up animals let go, haven't you? They open that cage, they don't just go. What's out here? They rush out like a madhouse, okay? Whoa. That's what I believe is going to happen. Now, here's why I bring this up. Look at the description of these devils, of these evil angels, of these locusts. Okay? They have wings, by the way. They fly like fiery flying serpents and like angels. Okay? But you look at verse 7, the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared into battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. Crowns always denote authority. These devils are going to be given a certain dominion. And their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women. And their teeth were as the teeth of lions. Now, the spirit of that, the sort of like the precursor spirit to these particular devils being released out of the pit, that spirit is already at work all over this world. Let me give you some proof of it. Here we go. An entire family turns transgender. An entire family, man, woman, son, and daughter in Arizona is transgender. The father identifies as a woman. His fiancée, the mother-to-be, identifies as a man. The son considers himself a girl, and of course the daughter thinks she's actually a boy. An entire transgender family all under one roof. I guarantee you they're going to get their own reality show. Almost guarantee you that they're going to sign a contract. Somebody's going to put this on. They're going to put this on right after Duck Dynasty. Or right after one of the Duggar family shows. You're going to have these families that pray, read the Bible, worship God. And then you're going to have the tranny family. Come on, right after that. Daniel Harrod was born a woman, while his fiance, Shirley Austin, was born a man. Both have previously been married. 11-year-old Mason and 13-year-old Joshua have also switched sexes. The whole family is in transition, Austin said in an interview with KJZZ, which reports the two adults are teaching each other to adopt traditional gender roles. Shirley taught Daniel how to use a chainsaw. Daniel taught Shirley to memorize all the stones in her engagement ring in case another woman asked. Daniel does the yard work, Shirley the cooking. Daniel explained that they're actually very traditional people who really see each other. We have the rest of it. But it just kind of, you know, when I say those words, I just feel like I got to clean my tongue off, you know, and just kind of wash that out. That's disgusting. Then we have, where's my other story here? There's a whole city. I probably didn't print it out. No, there's a whole city somewhere where the entire city council is tranny. In other words, let me show you a picture here. Do some high-tech computer graphics. This is the face of a man and the hair of a woman. It's what that is. That's your spirit right there. That's the spirit that is behind this, number one, the whole transgender homosexual sodomy movement, but it also is the spirit of these devils in Revelation chapter 9. Now let me keep reading to you their how they look, how they're going to appear. They had the faces of men, verse 8, and they had the hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. This links them, in my opinion, this links them with Daniel chapter 2. They are part of Daniel's fourth kingdom, the Iron Kingdom. Breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. The sound of chariots and horses. Now, the counterpart to Revelation 9 is Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. We have a description here. We have a match because in Joel chapter 1, the Bible says that which, let's count, that which the palmer worm hath left hath the locust eaten. That which the locust hath eaten hath left hath the cankerworm eaten. That which the cankerworm hath left hath the caterpillar eaten. But you have locusts here mentioned in verse 4, and you have four types of pestilence creatures that consume away everything like locusts do, and they're all related to the fourth kingdom. And he says, for a nation has come up upon my land, a nation. A nation is a type of, it's a DNA type, a race, a kindred, a nation of people. Nation is a DNA word. It's a genetic word. For a nation has come up, it has nothing to do with politics or political boundaries or anything like that. It is a genealogical, DNA-related, genetic word, the word nation. For a nation has come up upon my land strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion. That's Revelation 9. Whose teeth are the teeth of iron, and or the teeth of a lion, and he hath the cheek teeth of a great lion. And then we look in chapter 2. The Bible says, talks about the day of the Lord. In verse 3, a fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. Now, if you look at the first four trumpet judgments. We're going to hold our place here in Joel chapter 2. We're just doing deep Bible studies. Deep. In Revelation chapter 8, you have the first four trumpets. And each one of those is related. Let me read to you how. Verse 3 of Revelation 8, and yet another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer. There was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. The smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. The angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it to the earth. Fire. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Now notice each angel. The first angel sounded and there followed hail and fire. Fire. The second angel sounded and as it were a great mountain burning with fire cast into the sea. Verse 10, the third angel sounded, there fell a great star from heaven, burning, as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. Fire and burning. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood. Many died of the waters because they were made bitter. The fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun, which is burning, was smitten. Third part of the moon, third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened. The day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, 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 to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. And then you have the fifth angel. But before the fifth angel sounds, you have fire preceding before this particular nation. So if we go back to the book of Joel, see here, the fire, chapter 2, verse 3, a fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them. Nothing. Nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen so shall they run. Verse 5, like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains, so shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. So you have a season of fire, and then you have this great army that comes up out of the bottomless pit, Revelation chapter 9, at the blowing of the fifth trumpet. Now, I just believe, and I believe it with all my heart, that before our translation, there is a fiery trial which is to try us. 1 Peter chapter, we could go to chapter 4. This is my old Bible here, and it's falling apart. It's part of Revelation. And the saying is, a Bible that's falling apart belongs to a man that isn't. I say amen to that. First Peter chapter 4. Verse 12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. That's not the only time in 1 Peter that he talks about a fiery trial. He says it here in verse 7 of chapter 1, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, even if you don't believe that we are going to be here through the trumpet judgments, what this verse plainly says is that there is the possibility of a triary fire. A fiery trial, which is to try. Oh, quit laughing. A fiery trial, which is to try us at the appearing of Jesus Christ. At the appearing of Jesus, is appearing in the clouds and the air. A time of fiery trial, which, and you know what? That fiery trial is much more precious than gold that perisheth. I'll take it. I may not like it, but I'll take it so that I can receive what comes on the other side of that. It's like when I had my shoulder operated on, my right shoulder, from being electrocuted, that did a lot of damage. The current came out here. And it did a lot of damage in my shoulder. By the way, I've got a message. Pray for Brother John Uter. He is in surgery right now, having another operation on his back. His wife, Kathy, asked us to pray for him. And so, Kathy, we do that. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you today. We ask for your grace and your mercy upon our dear Brother John. We thank you, Lord, for his ministry. Thank you, Lord, for their friendship to our church and our ministry. Pray, dear God, that you would bless the doctors as they work on him. Bless John, give him quick healing, Lord, in his body. Father, Lord, help him as he continues to be a faithful servant to you. And bless his wife and family, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. All right. Now, back at the ranch. There's something here. Joel chapter 2, Revelation chapter 9, that I believe ties these things in with this idea, the possibility of an invasion. And let me just say it this way. There is zero doubt in my mind that an invasion is being prepared as we speak. An invasion over planet Earth of very evil angels. They may appear at first as being benevolent, as being the ascended masters that all the newagers are talking about. They may appear at first to be the beautiful aliens until you peel the rubber masks off and you find the lizards under there. Because they are. They're dragons. They're serpents. They're fiery flying serpents. They are Quetzalcoatls, which literally meant flying serpent, feathered serpent. And Quetzalcoatl was a reference to these beasts that are going to fall out of the sky one of these days. In fact, the pyramid at Chichen Itza in Mexico is designed so that on the summer solstice, June 21st, the shadow of the corner of the pyramid lands on the stairwell descending down. It makes it look like a crooked serpent is descending down from heaven. Are you kidding me? That's Bible. What did Jesus say? I see Satan as lightning falling from heaven. And the lightning is a zigzag deal, right? And that's what that serpent deal looks like at Chichen Itza in Mexico. Summer solstice. Bible prophecy, people. The Bible actually tells you the truth behind all of the myths of the world so that when you read your Bible, you get the truth of it. I mean, it'd be easy to say, yeah, that's a myth. That's a myth that these Mexicans made up back 1,000 years ago. There's no relevance to humanity whatsoever now. I don't believe that. And I don't believe that because I believe what the Bible says. There is a deep, significant relevance. There is an invasion coming. It is an invasion of the fourth kingdom of Daniel chapter 2. And this is not some European power broker going to try to take over the world. It's not it. This is an invasion of spirit forces. People from, and I was teaching you last week about the fourth dimension. That's where they come from. The fourth kingdom comes from the fourth dimension. And they have powers that are beyond our understanding. They have powers and abilities that our abilities and our weapons are no match to them. They cannot be defeated by mortal men. And they're coming down for a purpose. And that purpose, according to Daniel chapter 2, verse 43, that purpose is to somehow integrate their very being into the DNA of all mankind. The Bible literally says, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. Seed in the Bible, we now know, is a DNA term. They shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. Did you ever... Let me show you a cover-up. You want to see a cover-up? Give me a couple minutes here. You can do this yourself. BlueLetterBible.org. Let's see here. Let me get it up on the screen where you can see it. And I'm going to go to Daniel 2, verse 43, in the King James, okay? And then I will put it on the screen for you, all right? Let me do this. Okay, here we go. Daniel 2, 43, and that whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. They shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with miry clay. Now, when you look at that verse with 21st century eyeballs, 21st century glasses, you get it. The King James says it right, that they're going to mingle themselves with the DNA of man. Okay? And that's going to produce something. That's the secret of Masonry. That's the secret of Rosicrucianism. That's the secret of alchemy. That's the secret of pagan witchcraft. I mean, that's the secret of everything. Every secret society, every mystery religion has this as the foundation of their greatest secret. They shall mingle themselves with the seed of... Let me show you something here. Let me show you this. I got sent this yesterday. I couldn't believe my eyes. And I was wondering how I was going to fit it in. There's a program that is floating around America. It's these Chinese acrobats. Now, I love to watch these Chinese acrobats. Okay? They're amazing at what they do. It's just absolutely stunning. I've seen them. They had a show in Branson. It wasn't this particular show, but you can go to Branson, Missouri and see the amazing Chinese acrobats. And they are more fun than a barrel of monkeys to go watch. But there's one that's touring America called Xin Yun. 5,000 years of civilization reborn. Okay? And it's got, you know, this pretty picture of this lady flying through the air. You know, Xin Yun. Okay? Now watch this. Here's how they promote it. If you don't think that there's something going on in the media programming human beings to get ready and accept this, I mean, it's coming from every front. UFO movies, robot movies, space movies, computer movies, love stories, you name it. They're all trying to plant into the consciousness of man this idea to get them to accept it. Listen to this.
An ancient legend tells of divine beings who came down from the heavens to bestow a glorious civilization upon humankind. I'm not done.
Let me read that again.
An ancient legend tells of divine beings who came down from the heavens to bestow a glorious civilization upon mankind. Witness this ancient legend come to life. Xin Yun. China was once known as the land of the divine. Legend has it that each dynasty came from a unique heavenly paradise. Over the course of 5 millennia, deities descended to earth and took on human form. Come on! Playing roles from emperors to heroes and from sages to generals. Their wisdom and virtue laid the groundwork for China's rich culture. It is even said that classical Chinese dance and attire mirror those in the heavens. Do you know what that is? That is the heart of the concept of as above, so below. Let me read that again. It is even said that the classical Chinese dance and attire mirror those in the heavens. In other words, if we perform the dance and wear the attire mirroring what we believe to be in the heavens, then the heavens will respond to that with our blessings. If we perform on earth as, you know, so below, you know, or so as above, so below, or as below, so above. If we perform down here, the way we saw the aliens perform up there and do their thing up there, then they will bestow blessings upon us. China's dynasties have come and gone, and much of this heritage has been lost. Xin Yun strives to bring this ancient mythical culture to life on stage, reviving 5,000 years of profound wisdom and divine beauty. This is unreal. I haven't read.
Oh, my goodness! Oh, my goodness! Oh, my goodness! Here we go! You gotta see this. Where art can, and I have, this is the first time I've opened this page. where art connects heaven and earth. Hit the music again! Art carries the very essence of a civilization. It can thus bring the brilliance and wisdom of a lost culture back to life. Shen Yun takes this as its mission to revive China's 5,000 years of divinely inspired civilization. No wonder. No wonder God didn't allow Paul to waste his time going into Asia. It would have been a waste of time for Paul to try to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ into the minds and hearts of a people who already believe that they are connected to heaven by way of their rituals and their dance. Let's see here. It's a monumental undertaking. Shen Yun pushes the boundaries of performing arts. Ancient art forms meet with innovative multimedia. All original music and masterful artistry. Diverse ethnic and folk traditions are beautifully evoked through dance alongside stirring legends and stories of ancient China. With its very own unique orchestra, Shen Yun makes for an experience you won't find anywhere else. The power of archetypes and the narratives were startling. It was an extraordinary experience, writes Kate Blanchett, Academy Award-winning actress. My. Let's see here. What else can I find in here? This is absolutely incredible. Whatever the Chinese believe to be their divinely inspired mythology, the Bible's telling you the truth of it. The gods did come down, and they found wives. And from these wives, children were born, and these were the masters of the earth. These were the mighty men of old, men of renown, legendary men, men of great might and great wisdom, men of legend all over the earth. The stories, one after another, in Chinese culture, in African culture, in Southern and Central American culture, in Native American culture, First Nations culture, you name it. Anywhere the civilization goes deep into the past, they all have the same idea of the heavens connecting with the earth and man being visited by the gods traveling in chariots. Let me show you some pictures. You want to have picture day? Let's have picture day. Let me put this up on the screen here. Take a look at this. Ancient drawings from India, from Eastern Europe, Russia, of chariots. Look at this one. It looks like the mothership from Close Encounters. It has a resemblance to that. And they're drawing your attention to it. Hey, take a look at the flying chariot up in the sky. Same here. I mean, I'm sure, like, down here, this is supposed to be the focus of the painting. But then you got a guy flying around in a flying machine, a flying chariot up in the sky. Hands on the controls, his head turned backward. I don't know how that works. Let's see here. Here's another one from ancient India. The gods being pulled by horses. There's the god Ganesha, the elephant god. There is Shiva and Shakti. riding around through the skies in a four-wheel drive chariot. Okay? With a Cummins diesel. Rolling coal throughout the air. All right? Here, ancient Chinese painting. The writing here on the side says, chariot made in Japan. Here's another one. The gods flying through the air in a wheeled chariot. Here's another one. Horses drawing a wheeled chariot with the gods flying through the sky up in the clouds. This painting, I'm assuming that's the Virgin Mary, I'm not sure. But here you have in this painting here, a UFO. A glowing disc that resembles, let me go back to this right here, it resembles that somewhat. But here you have this flying, illuminated flying disc, and there is a man in this painting with his dog looking right at it. Apparently, this was a historic event, and the artist either this may very well be the artist who saw this image in the sky and decided to incorporate it into one of his paintings. The new season of The X-Files is going to come back on in January. Fox is doing some of the other stations too. They're doing different things with different shows. They're doing short runs of them. So they revived The X-Files, but they're doing they're not doing a full season run of it. They're going to do like 6 or 8 episodes like they did last year. And last year, if you remember, Scully has alien DNA in her blood. And says, without alien DNA, you don't stand a chance against the Spartan virus. Spartan virus was like some virus of the evil group from the government released or something like that. And the agent Einstein here says, how does it work? How does the virus remove the ADA gene? Scully said, a process called CRISPR. And she points to the specific gene in her blood that saves against the virus. And she says it's near the centromere, the 17th chromosome. What is the centromere? Let me show it to you. This is the X chromosome. The centromere is here. The centromere is, it's what connects and binds together the chromatids and makes it take on that shape of an X, as in X-Files. You kind of understand it now? The central mirror is the connecting point. It's the center point. It's what connects that which is above with that which is below. And I'm not kidding you. You look it up. You look up centromere. Look Wikipedia or wherever you want to look at. That's what it does. That's what ties this together. It binds it together and joins it together to make the X chromosome. It is the same or similar to if you have a Catholic background. Then you know that every Catholic church, some of them is more overt than some of the newer ones, but they're all built around the same design. You have the congregation here in the nave, and then you have a transept, because this whole church area is going to represent a cross, a chromosome. And right here at the centromere, where this meets and crosses this, they join together right here. And if you are standing here in the Catholic Church and you look straight up, more than likely there's going to be a great big giant dome
over your head, in some cases with images of angels and clouds and Jesus and Mary and Joseph. And it sounds like I'm cursing, doesn't it? Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. But if you stand right here and look up, you'll see the heavens represented by the dome. And right here is where the heavens are joined together with the earth. Just like in Xin Yun. And that's what Scully said, send the centromere. Right here, where heaven joins with the earth. Right here in the transept of the Catholic Church. Look at that image. Because Scully is part human, part alien. They had already, in the X-Files show, they had already mingled themselves with her DNA. Already mingled themselves into it. That's why she was not going to get killed by the virus that's supposed to go out and kill everybody on the planet. She has the cure. And I want you to get this. It's in her blood. Her blood is going to save mankind. Okay? You just think about that. Scully is Shekinah, the red-headed consort of God. And salvation is as much through, and if you think about the Virgin Mary in the Catholic Church, salvation in the Catholic Church now is as much about Mary, or maybe more so with Mary than it even is with Jesus. And the Catholic Church has longed over the years to sell the idea, even if they don't make it part of their official dogma, to sell the idea that Mary is the mediatrix. And they say of Mary that she was as much a part of Christ's sufferings on the cross as Jesus was. Therefore, she now bears as much of the responsibility of saving mankind as Jesus does. We're to give her the same credit for saving us as we do Jesus. That is blasphemy. That's heresy. That's evil. That's wicked. But that's where everything's going right now. Look at the word alien in your King James Bible. They that dwell in mine house and my maids count me for a stranger. I'm an alien in their sight. What that means is, I'm not from the same country as they are. In a lot of places in the Bible, you'll find out that we are the aliens. In the context of, we are not of the same DNA as they are. We're not of this. How did Moses write it in his song in Deuteronomy 32? Their rock is not as our rock, our enemies themselves being judges. And I get that to mean our enemies themselves know that there is a vast difference between us and them, and between what they believe and what we believe. Huge difference. So they themselves would not have a problem saying, get your rock out of here. We only want our rock. Think of, when you think of a rock, think of DNA. Because DNA is a crystal. It's a stone. It's a rock. Lamentations 5:2, and our inheritance is turned to strangers, our houses to aliens. Now there, I want you to think of the connection. Daniel chapter 2, the aliens being the visitors of the fourth kingdom, the stars of heaven falling, the chariots and the horses and the locusts rising up out of the pit. Our houses have been turned over to aliens. Aliens now inhabit our houses. And what is our house? Our houses are our bodies, according to the scriptures. Psalm 69:8, I'm become a stranger unto my brethren and an alien unto my mother's children. Because, listen to this now, because your brothers and your sisters
they're not going to follow you in your wacky religion. They're not going to believe that the Bible is the final authority on everything. They don't believe the Bible is the Word of God. They don't want your Christian religion. They want their drugs. They want their marijuana. They want their vodka drinks. They want their adulteries and fornications. They want their pornography. They want everything else. They don't want your religion. And at some point, when they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, your mother's children are going to become alien, and you're going to be alien to them because you're not of the same race, not of the same nation, not of the same DNA any longer. Isaiah 61:5, strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien. Look at that. Dun, dun, dun. The sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. Ephesians 4:18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. You that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Notice the Bible has sort of pounded two words together to let you know that the aliens are not our friends. The aliens, think about the Philistines. Think about the Philistines being camped out in Judah. You know, that's, I just had a thought here. Turn to 1 Samuel 17. I have a thought. Never thought it before. So it might be wrong. But I'm going to run something by you, Bible students, Bible believers, you meat eaters. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 1, now the Philistines, think of the Philistines being the aliens. Think of the Philistines being the fourth kingdom. The Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shoco, which belongeth to Judah. Judah, you have Reuben, Simeon, Levi. 1, 2, 3. The fourth child, this is where Christ comes from, is Judah. He's number four. So I think that there is a story within a story here. The Philistines gathered their armies to battle and were gathered together at Shoco, which belongeth to Judah. The Bible seems like it's going out of its way to tell you that Shoco belongs to Judah. And so, number one, it doesn't belong to the Philistines, does it? The Philistines have no right to be there. But then, since Judah is always, at least in my mind, when I see Judah, I see the number four. I see the spiritual realm in this. And what I see is Judah represents, he's number one, where Christ comes from. I think Judah represents those who are born again by the Spirit of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so we have an attack upon the gospel, upon the word of God, being led by, guess who? A hybrid champion. Goliath of Gath. And he's got sixes all over him. 600, let's see, what is he? He's six cubits in a span. His staff as of the spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron. There's your iron kingdom right there. But they're gathered together in Judah. And I think this is a representation of the fourth kingdom. And their champion. And who defeats them. David, the king. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Okay? So anyway, back to, let's see, back to the scriptures here. You that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. The aliens are always the enemies. Spielberg wants you to think that the aliens are our friends. The movie Arrival. Let's talk about that for a minute, considering that we have these movies that are trying to convince us that the aliens, when they appear, when they show up, yeah, it's going to be scary, and there's going to be panic in the street, something I never understood. When people are faced with the imminent destruction of planet Earth, for some reason, they feel like they need to steal a flat panel TV. Never understood that. They go looting and stealing, you know, big flat panel TVs from stores. What? Why? I don't get it. Anyway. But considering that these movies are trying to convince you that these aliens are benevolent and that they want to work with us and they want to give us great gifts, let me explain. If you've not seen the movie Arrival, get ready. If you know the Bible and you believe the Bible, get ready. Because we have a visitation on the earth of 12 ships. 12. Think about it. Think about the constellations and the stars of heaven. And every one of these ships looks like, and this is done on purpose, they all look like a giant contact lens. And in the person who designed this, they want you to, this imagery of basically a telescope or a lens that is going to illuminate our minds. Remember, the eye is the light of the body. And these aliens represent a lens into the future, giving us a new light, a new illumination. Mankind is about to be changed. That's what that lens represents. We're now going to see into things that we have never seen before. So 12 alien ships land different places around the earth. And when they initially make contact with the humans, it turns out that they haven't been watching our television transmissions. They haven't been reading our magazines, our newspapers, our books. They haven't sent people and shape-shifted into humans to live among us, to learn how we speak, how we communicate, how we do this, how we do that. They just showed up. And they don't speak our language, and we don't speak theirs. Now, this is a big deal in the movie. Because as it turns out now, these aliens, they are a nation or a race of people that come to the earth whose tongue we don't understand. Now, what am I getting at here? Deuteronomy 28, book of Isaiah, says the exact same thing. God said, because we do not keep the laws, the statutes, the judgments that God told us to keep, God said in verse 49 of Deuteronomy 28, the Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flyeth. And if you've seen the imagery of this movie, you see that this alien ship in America lands in Montana and is just like almost nearly concealed in a cloud. You catching that? So it comes in a cloud, hovers, you know, a few feet above the earth, and they've come from afar, and their ships travel as swift as the eagle flyeth. And verse 49 again, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. When I just got done watching this movie again the other day, it's on Amazon Prime Video. But the first time it came out, I mean, I got it. Here we have a nation coming from afar, visiting the earth, whose tongue we don't understand. Now, this language that these aliens have turns out to be the central focus of this movie. It's all about this language. Because when they write things on their little magic mirror, all of their letters are, and their words, their concepts, are written out as different decorative circles. Circles always, 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 always represent time. They always do. Always represent the circular nature of time. The sun goes in a circuit every day. And that's how we measure time. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. That's how we measure time. It goes in a circuit. The sky at night and at daytime goes in a circuit. Day unto day. Night unto night. One night gives way to the next night. And it repeats over and over. Year after year. Continues to repeat over and over. Solomon said it's like the rivers running into the sea, yet the sea is not full. And what happens is that the river water makes a complete circle. It goes up into the atmosphere, falls down as rain, ends up in the rivers, goes in the ocean, rises up into the atmosphere, and does the same thing over again. Time, or whenever you see a circle, you're looking at something that's related to time. A loop of time. And in that Ecclesiastes 1 passage is that which, you know, was is that which shall be. There is no new thing under the sun. What was is what is going to be. And it turns out that there's one lady, sort of like Scully. Scully's the red-headed Shekinah broad in the X-Files. Well, Amy Adams in The Arrival, she's this redheaded, and she already plays Lois Lane in Superman. Now she's Louise in this movie, and Lois Lane is the one who makes contact with the alien Superman, and here is Amy Adams playing the part of Louise, who is the one making the contact with the aliens. And she is the one who begins to understand the circle language that these aliens are giving her. And it turns out, they give you the concept, you know, that, you know, if you study, if you decide, you know, at some time in your life, you're going to study another language. And if you really intensely study this other language, you really put a lot of time into it, that it rewires your brain. You think differently because languages coming from different people around the earth, languages are different because the way people say things is different because their brains understand the world around them in a different way from language to language to language. And that's true. Absolutely true. When we say what's happening, that in Spanish is que pasa. In other words, what passes? Okay? They think differently. There's a little difference in how they think when it comes to this, you know, this introductory comment that we give to people. What's happening? What passes? They think differently. Well, the idea is that this circular language is rewiring Lois's, Amy Adams' brain. And now she has the ability to see into the future. And the movie tricks you because at the very beginning you see Amy Adams' character playing with a baby. The baby
then turns out to be a little girl, and she has this interaction with this little girl, and then all of a sudden now she's teaching university, and she's being called to find out what the aliens are saying. Then you find out, when you watch the movie, you find, I don't know if I want to spill it for you, but if you haven't seen it, too bad, you find out that she did not have this baby in the past. She has this baby after this whole scenario of the arrival, but she is now seeing her future. But it's this idea that the aliens, and by the movie Arrival, the aliens give mankind this gift of this language where we can see into the future, that they call a weapon. Because 3,000 years from now, the aliens, the Septipods, why? Pod means feet. And you find out that they've got seven feet on their tentacles. Seven. It's like the seven heads of the beast. The seven devils that were cast out of Mary Magdalene. The seven other spirits that go into a house that has been swept and garnished after one devil has been removed. That's what you the seven rays coming out of the Statue of Liberty's head represent, I think, the seven heads of the beast. It's like the opposite of the seven spirits of God. And so these aliens are giving mankind an illumination here because they're going to need us 3,000 years from now to help them fight off an enemy of theirs. I mean, it's just... But the idea that they speak a language we don't understand, that matches perfectly with what the Bible's saying. But then they're spinning this as this is great. This is wonderful. And folks, I can't stress enough what your Bible is telling you, pleading with you, that aliens are enemies. When we were alienated from Christ, we were enemies to Christ by our wicked works. Now we're not aliens anymore. Now we're part of Christ. And so the aliens that are out there are the enemies. And they are enemies because of their wicked works. And just jot that down somewhere. The aliens are the enemies. Aliens are the enemies. And who are we talking about? Are we talking about the Mexicans? The Canadians coming down here? No. We're talking about spirits from the fourth kingdom. Now look at Hebrews 11. This is the Faith Hall of Fame. And remember, that which was is that which shall be. Hebrews 11's given the list of all these different famous people out of the Bible. And then it says, you know, what can be said of Gideon or Barak or any of these others who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Get ready to fight the aliens. Get ready to fight the aliens. Let's go to Ephesians. It would do you good to go through the scriptures and study the different wars that are in your Bible. I have read these verses I don't know how many times. They still don't get old to me. I still find the more of the depth of this passage.
if we're to turn to flight the armies of the aliens, then there's certain things we must be ready to do. Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, even though we're weak, and I think God chose us because we are weak, not because we're strong. We're very, very weak people. We make a lot of mistakes. We say a lot of things we shouldn't say, do a lot of things we shouldn't do. But our strength is going to be in the Lord and from the Lord. And when we're standing in the evil day, think of it as the day the aliens come. Think of it that way. So when the evil day comes, God is going to cause us to stand. Even though you might be afraid that on that day, I'm so weak and I'm so such a scaredy cat. I'm afraid that, you know, if they come to me and say, you know, tell us that you don't believe in God or we're going to burn you in a big pit with your other brothers. You know, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that or not. If you're God's person, if you're God's man, you're God's woman, you're God's child, you'll be just fine. I promise you, you'll do well. So finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, put on the whole armor of God. And the whole armor of God is what gives us the ability to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. See, our fight is not with the terrestrial. It is with the celestial. That's who our fight is with. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Those chief princes, like the prince of the people of Persia, or Gog, the chief prince, Meshach and Tubal, all of these different, the prince of the people of Persia. These are principalities that we are going to be standing against. Against powers. And again, if you don't have on the whole armor of God, those powers are going to get you. The whole armor of God is what is causing us to stand. And if you're not equipped, you're not going to last very long. But against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, those are stars, is what they are. And a third of them are going to be cast down to the earth. And imagine the UFO show that's going to take place when a third of the stars are cast down to the earth. It's going to bedazzle everybody. Everybody's going, "Ooh, look at that one! Ooh, okay. Pretty." Against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Can we really stand against them? Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Having on the breastplate of righteousness, not our own righteousness. You'll never stand in that one. You'll never make it by assuming that the breastplate is your own self-righteousness. It's not. Because your righteousness is as filthy rags in God's sight. Whereas instead of having a shield of the righteousness of Christ covering you, you've got a dirty rag trying to stop an arrow. Won't work. Or a dirty rag, a filthy rag, trying to stop a fiery dart. Won't work. The breastplate of God's righteousness, the righteousness of Christ covering our vital organs. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That just makes you run faster like new tennis shoes when you was a kid, right? And above all, taking the shield of faith. Above all, the shield of faith. Wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Not some of them, not most of them, but all of them are quenched by the shield of faith. And that faith, it's not faith in yourself. It's not what your life coach preacher said. If you just believe in yourself, then you can do great things. That's nonsense. That's baloney. That's a bunch of Anthony Robbins pay $90 a seminar, and I'll tell you to believe in yourself. Just believe in yourself. You'll be okay. No way. The shield of faith. We have to wear it because we don't believe in ourselves. Our faith is not in what we're able to do, because if we were able to do it our own, we wouldn't need the shield now, would we? The shield is the faith in the Word of God. This is what the devil's doing. This is what the devil's doing with people you know, and what he used to be doing with a lot of you and me. He sees a shield, and it's whole and complete, and he knows that his fiery darts cannot penetrate it. So what does he want to do? Let's create a breach. All I need is a hole about that big. And when I throw my fiery dart, there's parts of the Bible that they're not sure they believe the King James translators got it right. Because they went to Bible college and they learned Greek and they know more than the translators did. And by the way, we have better manuscripts now than they had. And so we just believe that the King James has many errors in it. And let me tell you something. Even though the King James has zero, if you believe that the King James has, let's say you believe it's got 20 major mistakes in it. That's 20 holes, breaches in your shield of faith. And the devil is never going to aim in a place where he knows is strengthened by the Word of God and your belief in it. He's never going to aim there. He's always going to aim where that hole is. You see, since it's the shield of faith, then the fiery dart, to me now, the fiery darts that the devil is throwing is darts of false doctrine and false teaching. Because since the hole represents a part of the Bible that you don't believe is true, maybe because it wasn't translated right, or maybe because, you know, archaeology has discovered something that contradicts that, or whatever the reason. But the devil then aims for that particular part of the Bible that you don't believe in, because he's got a lie. And once that lie is able to penetrate your shield of faith, it's going right for your heart. And I would say that the devil never misses. That's what I would say. He never, never misses. He's a sure shot, is what he is. And if we're going to stand and turn to flight the armies of the aliens that even our own government is hinting that they're coming. Let me read some of this. My question is, since the government is now admitting that these UFO encounters are real. Is this the beginning of a much more serious alien threat? Now, when I say aliens, let me, before I get to this story, let me put let me show you these graphics here from the stories themselves. This is the government admits it studies UFOs, so about those Area 51 conspiracies. And here is actual video. See the clouds here? This is actual video of a United States military jet, two of them actually, that are following this unidentified unknown aircraft. Navy pilot describes 2004 encounter with UFO off San Diego coast on a trail of a secret Pentagon UFO program. Now, here's what I believe, according to Scripture, that these things are. In Psalm 68:17, the chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. Psalm 104:3 says, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, and walk upon the wings of the wind. God uses chariots. Does he have to? No, but he does. He uses chariots. But God made living creatures, angels, intelligent, sentient beings. He made them his chariots. And so in Ezekiel chapter 1, you read this. I'm not going to spend a lot of time reading this, but I want you to notice that here we have the four living creatures. And notice here in verse 13, as for the likeness of their living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire and like the appearance of lamps. Let me show you. Let me go back to this picture here. See this right here? They point this out in one of the videos. See this IR right here at the top? That stands for infrared, which means that this infrared, forward-looking infrared camera is detecting not just like a rocket plume of heat. This whole object is glowing white, which means that it's being picked up by the infrared as a heat source, a heat signature. And here it is reversed. Here is what the camera actually sees, still with infrared, but it's picking up from the spectrum of, this is a heat source, a heat signature. So we go back to Ezekiel chapter 1. The likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like the burning coals of fire and like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. In other words, boom, boom, they were gone and back again. Traveling in such a way as to defy the physics of this three-dimensional world. And as these pilots were following this, there's actual video. If you go to these websites, there's actual video of this instead of just a still picture. These pilots are noting that these objects are flying into the wind. So it's not a kite. Wasn't a drone. They were flying hard into a very stiff wind. And it had no effect on them whatsoever. And other pilots have noted that these ships, these chariots, had the ability to do things that no aircraft could do. It defied the laws of physics. And that's what these chariots of God are doing. Because these four cherubs, it's given to you in Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 15.
Now as I beheld the living creatures, behold one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. These living creatures had wheels. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of a barrel, and they four had one likeness, and their appearance and the work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. Look at this. This is Saturn. It is a wheel in the middle of a wheel. I'm not kidding you. This, I actually believe that. I believe that you're looking at a three-dimensional representation of what Ezekiel saw here in Ezekiel chapter 1. These are the wheels. When they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. As for their rings, they were, notice it says rings here. As for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes round about them four. When the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. For the spirit, look at this, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. Did you know that John saw the same thing, only he didn't call them living creatures. He called them beasts. So let's take this same phrase here, and we'll substitute the word beast for living creature. The spirit of the beast was in the wheels. Bum, bum, bum. So what do I believe? I believe that God rides in a chariot of angels, and these angels have wheels. That's what the Bible says. I never used to think of it that way before. Now I do. Now I think I get it. And these objects that are being seen in the sky, they are chariots. But they're also, they themselves are the living creatures. Let's read this story. For decades, Americans were told that Area 51 didn't really exist and that the U.S. government had no official interest in aliens or UFOs. Statements to the contrary, official-sounding people cautioned, were probably the musings of crackpots in tinfoil hats. Well, score one for the crackpots. The Pentagon has officially confirmed that there was, in fact, a $22 million government program to collect and analyze, quote, anomalous aerospace threats, which is government speak for UFOs. As the Washington Post's Joby Warwick reported, the Advanced Aviation Threat Identification Program, AATIP, ATIP, was a rare instance of continued government investigations into a UFO phenomenon that was the subject of multiple official inquiries in the 1950s and 60s. In other words, Blue Book on steroids. For a specific segment of the population that doesn't need to Google the terms Paradise Ranch and Cheshire Cat Airstrip, it was a eureka moment, the first of presumably many alien-related secrets that has slipped out of the clenched jaws of the government. The non-Googlers have it easy, it seems. The admission and the fact that the government spent $22 million on UFO research gives any out their theory a patina of credibility. But what about the rest of us who have not fully jumped onto the tinfoil hat bandwagon? What are we to make of 70 years of bizarre stories centered on a secret government base an hour's drive from the Las Vegas Strip? The Department of Defense released footage showing encounters between U.S. fighter jets and anomalous aerial vehicles. In 1955, President Dwight D. Eisenhower approved the addition of this strip of wasteland, known by its map designation as Area 51, to the Nevada test site, according to a CIA history book of a spy plane declassified in 2013. The area was near the Atomic Energy Commission's vast, desolate proving grounds and was used to test the high-altitude U-2 reconnaissance plane. A parade of top-secret aircraft was tested in the area, according to Reuters, including the A-12 aircraft, a spy plane that flew faster than the speed of sound, and the angular F-1117 stealth ground attack jet.
But Area 51 quickly became a wireframe for not quite verifiable musings about alien life, secret technology, and supernatural behavior. Gaping holes in the out there theories had an uneasy explanation. The government is working diligently to keep the real story under wraps. The biggest working conspiracy theory is that Area 51 is where the U.S. government stored aliens and spacecraft that crashed, landed on Earth, particularly the unidentifiable debris discovered by William Brazel. Let's see here. For decades, people reported seeing strange lights in the desert around Area 51, presumably alien craft taking off or being tested at the government facility. Adding fuel to the alien theories, Ray Santilli released a video in 1995 that purported to show an alien autopsy after the Roswell crash. Let's see here. What else can I find? I don't want to talk about Santilli. I don't want to talk about tinfoil hat people. I don't want to talk about movies. Let's see here. The real world government employees had been poring over their own film captured by fighter pilots of possible UFOs. Chris Mellon, a former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Intelligence who once worked for the Advanced Aviation Threat Identification Program, said investigators had interviewed pilots who claimed they saw weird things in the air. Mellon, who now works with UFO Data, a private organization, described one video of an encounter with an unidentified object to Politico. He said, quote, "It is white, oblong, some 40 feet long and perhaps 12 feet thick. The pilots are astonished to see the object suddenly reorient itself toward the approaching FA-18 fighter. In a series of discrete tumbling maneuvers that seem to defy the laws of physics, the object takes a position directly behind the approaching FA-18. The pilots capture gun camera footage and infrared imagery of the object. They are outmatched by a technology they've never seen." The Advanced Aviation Threat Identification Program generated at least one report, a 490-page volume that describes alleged UFO sightings in the United States and numerous other countries over multiple decades. The Pentagon, our nation's top defense program, nearly admitting that these encounters are real. And I believe they are. I mean, I've watched this video several times. There's something not right about whatever this flying vehicle was that these guys were being followed by. And things like this happen all over the world, monthly, one report after another. Is it possible now? Because many Bible prophecy people, many of the so-called crackpot fringe on the internet have speculated that at some point there is going to be a release of information, a release of some sort of absolute proof that we have been visited on this planet by alien biological entities with ships that can defy the laws of three-dimensional physics. Three-dimensional. But not necessarily defy the laws of fourth-dimensional physics, which is a higher realm than us. And so to us, it looks supernatural. And for us, it is. And there's a lot of speculation that in itself, right there, that once this evidence comes forward, that the aliens are real, that there's life on other planets, then it's gonna destroy the religions of the earth. It's gonna destroy Christianity. No. Not real Bible Christianity. You can't destroy that. It's not possible. Because those of us who believe exactly what this Bible says, in every word of it, we're expecting that such an event will take place. Am I looking forward to it? Not like I used to be. But I believe it's going to happen. When? I don't know. But it's like stories are being released now. Stories are being leaked. Maybe to get humanity, to get mankind ready for such an event. If you're saved, you're already ready. If you're saved, then you just know to think Bible, all right? Pray for us. We pray for you. You're the reason why we do what we do. We'll see you on Thursday. God bless you.